jazzing up your day with a touch of soul. The Living Room on 938 Live.
Welcome into The Living Room on 938 Live. How does an award-winning Hollywood producer end up on our shores teaching? She's assistant professor at Chapman University's Singapore campus, where she teaches creative producing, screenwriting, new media, feature film analysis, and entertainment marketing and promotion. So what lured her away from the glitz and glamour that is Hollywood? With us today, Rona Edwards, author of The Complete Filmmaker's Guide to Film Festivals, Your All-Access Pass to Launching Your Film on the Festival Circuit, her latest book. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Rona.
My pleasure.
So tell us what happened.
Why did I end up in Singapore?
Yeah, you started as an actress, actually.
Yes. I did. I actually started as an actress and a singer, and I sort of took a left-hand turn into the world of development. And what that means is I would find scripts for different production companies that I'd work for and help develop them, work with the writers and so forth, and get them hopefully greenlit for production, produced and marketed and so forth. So my left-hand turn took me into working for people like John Larroquette, the Emmy Award-winning actor from Night Court, who's done numerous things since, as well as an Academy Award-winning producer, Michael Phillips, who produced The Sting, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Taxi Driver, and so forth. I ended up finding a lot of different kinds of material for them. I got a few things produced, and then I say I was dragged kicking and screaming into the world of independent producing because I didn't know if I wanted to do that, because I was an actor originally. So I did, and I ended up making 10 films since, some documentaries, mostly television movies, and countless others that I had in development in both the studio system as well as network TV in Los Angeles in the United States. My last couple of films that I did were for the Lifetime Movie Network, which is our kind of female-bent TV network in
sort of
the
Hallmark-ish,
States.
Hallmark-ish, if you will?
A little bit not as soft as Hallmark. Actually a little more edge to it. The last two pictures, that more of a female bent, though. The last two pictures that I produced were two movies based on books that I had optioned in a series called Crimes of Fashion. This is about
the hostile makeover and
yeah, hostile makeover, okay. Killer hair, exactly. So I kind of described it as Sex in the City with a dead body.
Okay.
So it was a lot of fun. And I partnered with Monica Skrbelas, who is a studio executive, was a studio executive with Universal Pictures. We taught a lot together. I was still producing, still produce now. And ended up writing a book, the first one, I Liked It, Didn't Love It, Screenplay Development from the Inside Out, which is basically about the Hollywood process, who all the players are, how they all fit together, etc. And ended up writing The Complete Filmmaker's Guide that just came out. We just had a big book launch at Kinokuniya, and very excited about it. I think it's going to be very helpful to filmmakers the world over. So, how did I end up in Singapore?
Indeed. Yeah. Yes.
What happened to the question we asked?
Yeah. Exactly. Well, long-winded. I ended up here because I had been doing some adjunct teaching for Chapman University in Los Angeles in Orange, California. And they asked me, would you like to go to Singapore? And I thought, where's that red dot on the map again? No. I thought, why not? You know, let's do something different. I was really interested. I do a lot of consultations and stuff in Australia. And I thought this part of the world is interesting to me. I think it's a hub. And now that I've been here, to be honest, I have to say that Asia's where it's happening. So I came here to help the Singapore media. I work for Chapman University, Singapore. We're on the Nian Poly campus. We teach Singaporeans, only Singaporeans, about creative producing, the business of creative producing, the creative content. One of the things that we felt Singapore needed, and we were told Singapore needed, was more of an emphasis on creative content, how to tell a story, how to sell that story, not only here in Singapore, but globally as well. So our students, we're a new school. We've only had two cohorts graduating. Third one is graduating next week. And I was only scheduled to come for 1 year. But I decided to stay another year because I was so impressed with the students at Chapman. They are really creative. Not what I was told, by the way. Okay. I mean, I was told quite the opposite.
I was going to ask you that, yes.
Yeah, I was told quite the opposite that, you know, it will be really difficult to get them to talk in class, and it will be really difficult to get them to share their creative ideas.
A legendary reticence, you know?
Yeah, the legendary reticence, exactly. And, you know, the minute I told them they are allowed to have an opinion,
floodgates opened.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Now I can't shut them up. No, I shouldn't say that. They're probably listening right now, and I'll never hear the end of it. But they, you know, they're terrific. The projects they're working on. We've had, like I said, this will be our third cohort, and I'm impressed with every single class. So it's been actually quite rewarding. I've actually been taught quite a bit as well.
What kind of content are our students developing? Because in the mainstream media, we keep seeing the similar constantly, over and over again, and it gets a bit stale.
Yeah. Yes. I'll be diplomatic. Yes, it does. Yeah. I agree with you.
So much so, I've stopped watching certain things.
Well,
you know, thank God for the net.
This is true. And we also teach, you know, I teach new media, and all of the faculty at Chapman University, we're all from Hollywood. Major players in Hollywood, actually our associate dean produced some of the biggest movies out there, like The Fugitive and Outbreak and North Country. I mean, I can go on. Mm-hmm. Seven, you know, major movies. Well, you know, I think what will happen is in the next few years, you're going to see a big change in Singapore media in general, whether it's new media webisode, internet content, mobile content, to television and feature film. I think these are the pioneers.
So where are their films? This is the third cohort. Mm-hmm. Where could people find their films? Is it on the web or is it in the mainstream?
It's actually all over. And the thing is, it's not overnight. And see, that's the one thing I think that maybe Singapore media professionals of the old guard, if I might say, understand is that it takes time to develop a
Where's
project.
Where's the return on the investment?
Yeah, they always want to know, what is the return on the investment? But the fact is, you actually have to invest.
Right.
It's not something that happens overnight. It takes time to work with a writer. You don't just write a first draft and then shoot it. Mm-hmm. Because usually, those are the films, and you've probably seen them, are not ready to be shot. Mm-hmm. So it takes time. More than that, I think that these particular students that are graduating this year and last year and the year before are just getting their mojo going. The projects, they do a senior thesis for us, and some of them are just fantastic, and I think they're going to continue. A lot of them also end up working in the market sectors, in marketing and distribution and sales and so forth, and selling motion pictures that are more business-related creative jobs.
I've always heard that when a society is finding its voice or finding its feet, especially in film, they tend to go for shock and awe. Like in Spain, you got this plethora of nudity and everything else. How are we developing?
Decapitation.
Yeah, horror films. Horror films.
Lots of blood.
I mean, the other thing is you have to look at, I think the students don't just want to make, they want to be Singaporean filmmakers. They're very serious Singaporean filmmakers. But they also want their movies to travel. And that is a big conundrum because, how do you make a Singaporean movie travel? Horror and thrillers tend to travel really well. And it's always been that way, by the way, in the marketplace. Whether, you know, American films that sell in Europe and stuff tend to be more genre-specific. Some rom-coms will travel, but mostly it's thriller and horror. And so there's a number of those. But now with the web, you know, there's no ceiling anymore in creativity, because you can really do whatever you want to do. You can have your own studio for $5,000. Basically. So the floodgates have opened in a way that it makes it very accessible for our students and for any filmmaker out there, actually, to make a film, to produce a web series, to produce a mobisode, and not to mention getting into the forms of new media like just mobile content. We have students that are developing businesses around apps and so forth. So it's quite exciting, actually, and rewarding.
Sounds like some of your colleagues are pretty bigwig, too. The list you listed just now of the film sort of made my head spin a little bit. But what are a couple of Hollywood bigwigs doing here? I mean, what do you see here that's so exciting?
Well, you know, I think we had an economy situation and a bad economy situation in the United States, and I think we all sort of needed to shake it up a bit. And I think we came to Asia because we saw new opportunities even for ourselves. First, rewardingly working with students to help impart our knowledge, our experience, and see the improvement from when they first start. And we're only a two-year program. We get a bachelor's degree from an American university at Chapman. And we see from the very beginning to now the ones that are graduating, for example, and I've seen them through. That's my first cohort. I've seen through both the first and the second year. And leaps and bounds have they grown, not only as creative souls, business-minded people, but also as people. I've seen them create things that have just put me in awe, and it's very, very, very rewarding to see that improvement. So it's kind of like these are the pioneers. Okay, these are the ones that will change the programming right. that you are now so bored with and fall asleep with, and find excuses to write, reconcile your checkbook during the right. show or whatever.
Are these kids being able to sell their content?
Yes, actually, they are. I can't really say exactly right now because there's going to be some big announcements, but some major networks and companies here in Singapore and abroad have actually, before they've even graduated this year, have already sold a number of things. So it's, again, it's very exciting.
It's very heartening to know.
Sure,
yeah,
right.
I mean, it's just, it's like, well, also it makes us feel like it's validation. We know what we're doing, and we feel very gratified that we have been able to be a small part of helping to bring out that wonderful creativity.
It's gratifying to hear this because what we hear is the big Hollywood developers, Lucasfilm, they come here and, our people work in the back rooms.
True.
You know, so is this something?
Well, the wonderful thing, you know, maybe we should talk about the definition of what a producer is.
Okay,
because
sure, yeah.
I think people don't quite understand.
Right.
Are you able to? Because once I talked to John Landau, who couldn't tell me either, I can't tell you what I do in a day. I said, what's the day in the life of a Hollywood producer? Like, well, I get some coffee, and then I don't know what happened to the answer.
Well, you know something? I think I can actually be somewhat specific, but also general. I understand why John would say that, because we do so much. That's the issue. We are the person who drives the project. Here's
like
a good
President
way.
Gopher, you know?
No.
Yeah,
the whip wielder.
No, we have gophers that work for us. Depending on the budget of the film.
Yes.
Head gopher. if this is the way I describe it. If a writer births the baby, it's the producer who raises the child and sends it off in the world. The producer is the person, the creative producer, not just a line producer, but a creative producer, basically works with that writer, options, finds the material, options the project, works with the writer, sometimes comes up with their own ideas and then hires a writer to work with them on their own ideas in order to massage, nurture, develop that project, and then sell it into the marketplace. Okay, so what does that mean? You can sell it to a network, you can sell it to a studio, you can raise financing yourself, you can put a co-production package of not just Singapore, but other countries together because you get certain rebates and incentives and so forth for that kind of a co-production in order to build up your budget. And then the producer produces the movie, hires the director, hires all the players involved, and then sees it through to marketing and distribution. So we are in it for the long run. The director may get a lot of acclaim.
Like bulbs, yeah.
Yeah, but the producer is the through line, the thread that ties it all together. And it's not just in feature film. It's in all media, everywhere. I mean, the managerial skills that you learn as a producer, the business skills you learn, the creativity skills you learn as a producer, all of those go together. So I can understand what John would say.
Perhaps
I don't know how to tell you.
Time was too short. He couldn't quite explain to me in 10 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, so we're a lot. You know, we're troubleshooters. Sometimes we're liaisons between a network, a studio, and the set of a film, you know, where the person that needs to keep the budget you know, on time, on the money, but we also want to make everyone happy and make sure it gets sold and made, and then walk that red carpet, hopefully, at the end and be very proud. So
everyone wants a piece of the action.
Yes.
How do you get your piece of the action? Is it a percentage that people say, oh, I'll just take, you know, part of the box office receipts or something like that? Mm-hmm. How does it work?
Well, you know, that everything is negotiable. That's the thing you really learn, and you never know. Every deal can be very different.
Right.
I mean, there are certain deals that are pretty set, and the more that you produce, you should be able to raise your bar, raise your fees. Usually, a producer gets a fee. Okay. And if, depending on the kind of producer you are, you'll get a piece of the back end. What does that mean? In a studio sense, sometimes you never see the back end.
Okay.
You know, creative accounting. But you can, certain producers, depending on what level they're at, can negotiate what they call a break point, in which at a certain point the movie makes a certain amount of money, you will get that percentage beginning then. If you're raising money yourself, however, if you're putting something together, a lot of producers will defer a portion of their fees in order to show, you know, that they believe in their project and take a bigger piece of the back end. And hopefully they're doing it for a reasonable amount of budget that then they would be able to make it back fairly quickly. Because it's not just film and TV, it's also pre-sales and other countries and territories.
We're in the fascinating world of Hollywood right now, speaking to Rona Edwards, author of the new book, The Complete Filmmaker's Guide to Film Festivals, your all-access pass to launching your film on the festival circuit. This is her latest book, can be found at Kinokuniya. Rona is also an assistant professor at Chapman University's Singapore campus. We're going to find out more in just a bit. Stay with us, The Living Room, 938 Live.
The Living Room on 938 Live. Time now to rejoin The Living Room on 938 Live.
Thanks for staying with us on The Living Room on 938 Live. And today we're talking to Rona Edwards, author, assistant professor, producer, actress, singer, and FBI's most wanted list there. Long and intimidating.
That's right.
Of Rona's credentials. She is the author of The Complete Filmmaker's Guide to Film Festivals, your all-access pass to launching your film on the festival circuit. And she also teaches at Chapman University's Singapore campus. So, Rona, has your book become a prerequisite in class, like required reading?
Actually, not that one. The other one has. I liked it, didn't love it, because it's perfect for creative producers. But I haven't made it
mandatory.
Mandatory, but a lot of the students are very anxious to read it because they're kind of at a loss. It's very overwhelming. There's 4,000 plus film festivals in the world. So how do you know what you should do with your film?
No.
And not only that, the book really talks about how to prepare for a festival, how to target the right festivals, what to do when you get to a festival, because it is quite overwhelming. So we're kind of excited about the book because we feel it's something we wished we would have had when we were starting out.
Sure. I'm an ignoramus about the film, 4,000 film festival.
You shouldn't call yourself that. No.
Well, I am. Well, if I wouldn't, how do you get your film accepted at one of these festivals? Do you have to pay a fee? An entrance fee?
Yeah, there's usually an entry fee. But a lot of foreign festivals, when I say foreign, obviously I'm talking from a U.S. perspective. The U.S., they charge for everything. What else is new?
Well, in Singapore, maybe we will be charging too.
Yeah.
We love the revenue, don't we?
Yes, we're a lot alike. That's why we get along so well.
That's right,
But there's a lot of other festivals in Europe and stuff that do not charge. But basically, it can range anything from $25 to application fee, to Sundance, which is, I think, $75. And you basically apply. You have a wonderful website called Without a Box, which most filmmakers will know about, and you set up your account. It's kind of one-stop shopping. You can put your press kit up there. You can put your log line. You can do all, you put everything, all your information, and programmers from other festivals can find you on this one website. And it's free. Without a Box is actually free. You can pay all your fees through Without a Box, though. And they charge the film festivals.
Right. To be a bit facetious, you know, it's become like a badge of honor for every big city to hold a film festival. In my well, in my day, it was Toronto that started the film festivals then, and it seems to have burgeoned on. What about other festivals in Asia that are starting up?
Well, the fact of the matter is film festivals have been around for a very, very long time. Venice was the first film festival. Toronto actually began as a Best of Fest.
Right, in the 80s.
They would take films from all that won other festivals and put them in the festival. But now it's turned into a very important marketplace for people to make deals. Some film festivals have a film market attached to it. Some have screenwriting competitions attached to it. Some have music programs attached to it, like South by Southwest in Austin, which is like really an amazing festival. It's everything art, basically. So how do you know which one to go to? What are the right ones? Well, you start with the top tier, which are the five big ones, which is Toronto, right. Venice, Cannes, mm-hmm. Berlin, right. And then Sundance. Okay. So those are the biggest ones, but.
Biggest in terms of what? Exposure for your film?
Exposure, film market potential, Berlin and Cannes. Backroom deals. Berlin actually is a very serious festival. People think of Cannes, they think of Sundance, which are fantastic festivals, and certainly a lot of deals are made at those festivals, Sundance in particular for independent films and launching filmmakers. But so is Berlin. Berlin actually has what's called the Berlin Talent Campus, where you can apply. We've had actually a number of students, citizens of Singapore, that have been to the Berlin Talent Campus as well. And they basically, you get accepted and you get to go to the festival for free and you get mentored and so forth. But they also have a film market attached. But as
these
far as
are for
Asian,
finished films, right?
Yes.
I mean, you need to have finished your film
True.
To present it at a
Absolutely.
Festival.
Okay. And they can be shorts, they can be documentary features, documentary shorts, animation shorts, and regular feature film docs and narratives. So as far as Asia goes, I actually attended the Busan Film Festival this past year, and I think Busan is definitely going to become the Cannes of Asia. I think there were a lot of deals happening. I thought it was a very good place to meet people. They have the Asian Film Academy there. We've had from Chapman, we've actually had a student accepted there last year and had his film made at the Academy, as well as another film in the Busan Film Festival. Tokyo Shorts is a very good shorts film festival. Short films, make no mistake, you won't get major deals as far as selling your short. You'll get some deals, but they are such a great calling card. In fact, it's probably better than a business card if you have a short film for a filmmaker. It helps get your name out there, and you get to go to a lot of festivals with it, hopefully.
Is it true to say that if you don't make it in the United States, you don't make it anywhere?
That's not true anymore.
Okay.
That's probably why
anymore.
We're here.
Anymore, yeah.
Seriously, anymore. Well, because everyone is seduced by Hollywood, and Hollywood is still, you know, even the United States doesn't realize that their greatest export is film. You know, the politicians in Washington, D.C. poo-poo Hollywood. We have no opinions. We shouldn't say anything, blah, 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 blah. But the fact of the matter
is, all these crazy creative types.
Yes,
right.
We're crazy creatives. And the fact
that... No, they're liberals.
That's a dirty word, you know, in America, so God forbid. But the fact of the matter is, Hollywood is its greatest export and always has been. You know, there are other great things about America as well, but Hollywood has gone through a really economic kind of dysfunction, if you will, because studios are acting more like distribution houses. They used to develop a lot more. They tend to do it with only the top tier. It's very hard for a younger filmmaker, a younger person to really get noticed unless they go to a film festival and have a lot of buzz on their film. Then they get noticed by Hollywood. So
what you're saying is what's happening in Hollywood now is that your big companies or your big studios just want to bank on the sure thing.
Absolutely.
They don't want to sort of take a risk on a younger... I see.
Yeah, I think that's true. And even some of what we call the specialty houses like Fox Searchlight or Sony Classics, they comb the film festivals for that product. And it's already done. They're not really risking as much if they had to develop it from scratch, which costs a lot more money. But I think what's happening in Asia is the fact that film festivals are a normal thing. I mean, Singapore has a film festival every weekend.
Right. Yes, right? It does, in more or less.
So I think that it's important to realize that what do you want to achieve at a film festival? First, you want to get accepted, and you won't always get accepted every film festival, but there's so many out there. If your film is good, it's going to have some place in the film festival circuit. The second thing you want to do is you want to win awards. Sometimes it's a jury award, sometimes it's an audience award, because you can put that on your website. Once you've been selected to be in a film festival, it can never be taken away from you. You are an official selection of that film festival. If you win an award, again, it can never be taken away from you. Now you are an award-winning filmmaker.
Yeah, when you see ads for films in newspapers, this little box is crammed with words.
That's right.
A selection.
With laurel leaves.
Palm
door. The laurel leaves, yes. Yeah, which, by the way, you can make yourself.
Oh, okay.
I'm not saying they do that, but yes, usually get it from the film festival. You know, the third thing you want to accomplish at a film festival is to try and go and network and meet industry professionals. So how do you target the right, you know, film festival? I think you need to look and see who is behind it. You need to look and see who attends it. All of them have websites. You can see who attends the parties. Most festivals have parties, have seminars, have an educational component that is very valuable and useful to a filmmaker. And it's a way of meeting other filmmakers with like-mindedness. So you might end up working. I know people who have actually ended up working on films with people they met at film festivals. It's actually a very intense, whether it's a few days, a week, or 2 weeks, you are thrown into this atmosphere of this intense love movies, movie-going kind of like-mindedness. And you meet people standing in line in Sundance. You could be standing out in the cold, in the snow, and the person next to you happens to be an agent, a manager, a distributor, a financier. And the next thing you know, you're giving them your project and
Hoping it takes off,
exactly. So it's, you know, where people cannot get a leg in to the studio system, there is actually a foot in the door at film festivals, if you look and see who's behind them.
So your book looks like a 101 for filmmakers who want to get their films onto the festival. What about for lay people like, say, me and Keith, who have no aspirations to make a film? We live in a film. And what can we glean? What can lay people glean from your book?
Well, I think they can understand that film festivals are not just for filmmakers. They're for people who like to go to movies. You know, they're for people who like to see new talent. Some people really love documentaries, love nonfiction programming. It's a great way to see and be exposed to new filmmakers and a lot of films that may not have gotten that big distribution deal, so they're not at the Cafe or the Shaw or the Golden Village right away, you know, or they may end up in some other form of distribution thanks to the internet and so forth. So I think it's a way of opening your mind. I think it's a way of seeing new talent, which I don't, whether you're in film or radio, I think we love to appreciate new talent and be awed and inspired by it. And I think film festivals have a way of doing that because there's a lot of films that don't get that kind of exposure, especially maybe even films from other countries that then come here that we would not normally get to see, you know.
So you went from actress to singer to producing to now teaching. Was this natural for you? And what's next after this?
Oh, gosh, death.
taxes.
No. Well,
taxes and
yes.
Taxes, of course. No. Well, you know, I started as an actor and singer, and I have to say that everything I approach is probably from that perspective. Kind of that soul of looking at a script. It's kind of a natural foray in some ways because one of the questions I ask my students in screenwriting is, who do you think the writer has the closest relationship to on the set? Who is that one figure? And they pretty much say the director, and they're wrong.
I was thinking director, so that's wrong.
No, I was thinking actor.
Yes, actor is correct. Because we agree to it. Yeah. Should we give points here?
Yeah, why
Gold
not?
Star.
Official winner. Because the actor approaches the material the exact way the writer writes it. About characters, what they want, what their objectives are, what's in their way, and so forth and so on. So basically, I feel that it's not that they have no relationship with the director. You're not 100% wrong, Howie.
Didn't fail the exam.
But the director takes the material and interprets it in a more visual sense. An actor will look at the characters, what they're doing, how they interact with other characters, what are their obstacles. It's much deeper, and that's exactly the way a writer writes a screenplay. So, to me,
are you saying you may want to go back to actressing, if there's such a word, being an actress?
I always say actor. I'm kind of like the asexual actor as opposed to actress. But yeah, you know, it's never far from my soul. And I've done voiceovers for some of our students. I even acted in a quick little sizzle reel for them last year. They asked me to do it, and I did it. And you know, it's still in my blood. It never leaves you, and it's helped me be the person I am. So I don't think it's bad.
Big thank you to Rona Edwards, who is the author of the new one, The Complete Filmmaker's Guide to Film Festivals, your all-access pass to launching your film on the festival circuit. You can get it at Kinokuniya. She also teaches at Chapman University's Singapore campus. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks so much, guys.
The Living Room on 938 Live.